The Israel Report for the latest news and insights with Anthony Reich.
Anthony Reich, good morning. How are you?
Boker Tov, yeah, just every morning trying to absorb those numbers and that information. Mm. It's it just continues to be astonishing. You can't escape from it, can you?
No, we certainly can't. But some Israeli schools will be reopening today.
So for the first time already in a few months, some schools have decided that they will open their doors today as authorized by the government, by the coronavirus cabinet and by the Ministry of Education. Very, very few, because in fact, those schools which are authorized to reopen, being the kindergartens and grades 1 to 4, most of them have decided not to reopen just today for one day, and then to send children home again for the weekend, but rather just to reopen on Sunday. And so that's what they will do. It's still very, very limited, though, in terms of the school reopening. But lots of talking up the situation. First of all, the good news, the really good news, is that the numbers seem to be dropping in terms of the new cases that are being diagnosed. For the first time, a real noticeable drop in the number of new people infected yesterday. And so that's really good news, and hopefully that trend will continue. It's not clear whether that trend arises as a result of the recent lockdown that we've been experiencing that's finally bringing itself to bear and showing results, or whether the vaccination program is also showing results, or perhaps just a combination of the two. Not clear yet, but at least good news. And lots of talk about what will happen next in terms of those people who have been vaccinated. I know now there's a move towards workplaces either insisting upon people being vaccinated to come to the office, or alternatively insisting upon people being tested very frequently, in some places even every day. I'm now aware of certain workplaces that have got tests on site at the office, and you have to get tested every day.
My son works at Monday.com, and they're doing that.
Right. So I'm aware of the fact that Monday are doing that. And there are also a few other places where they're insisting that people get tested. If you've been vaccinated, you're entitled to get a green card. I have my green card. It was sent to me yesterday. Interestingly, it's valid for 6 months. So I don't know what happens after that.
That's interesting.
Period expires. Yeah. It officially has my name in English and in Hebrew, my passport number, as well as my ID number, the date upon which I was vaccinated, together with the two doses with their batch numbers and the type of vaccine that I received on each date, and the fact that it expires in 6 months' time, or at least 6 months from the date which my vaccine was administered. So I have no idea where I will go after that and how the system will work. But there's a lot of talk about the reopening of hotels and of gyms and of malls and other places of culture, perhaps cinemas, for people who have been vaccinated. So I think we're moving very much into a situation of the vaccinated and the unvaccinated. And by vaccinated, we also include those people who have recovered from COVID, so they're considered to be immune in the same way as people who have been vaccinated. So that's really the way that things are moving right now, except for the fact that Purim officially has been cancelled, at least from a public celebration point of view. No public events will be allowed for Purim. If we remember this time last year, Purim was really the start of when this super spreading really happened. A few people who were, quite a number of people who were infected as a result of attending Purim events. So that's already an anniversary that we can recall from this particular pandemic. And that's really the direction in which things are going. Still so many decisions which seem inconsistent, which seem not following the current logic. The logic seems to change so much as we learn new things, as we discover new things, as we put to one side things that we thought we believed that are no longer relevant. The reopening of the airport will still not take place for another 10 days yet. And then there will be stringent requirements for people returning to Israel through the airport in terms of quarantine and in terms of those people who have been vaccinated as opposed to not. So we're really moving into a brave new world now where the people who have not been vaccinated, as was discussed yesterday and as Renee mentioned in her message to you, that she feels somewhat discriminated against because of the fact that she either cannot or will not be vaccinated. And so I think that's really where we're heading, a world of two types of people, either those with the green card or those without one.
It's a very complex problem because we might want to respect people's individual rights not to be vaccinated, but then there's a reciprocity around that, or the consequences around that. And I don't think it's unreasonable, even though it's certainly not a pleasant or easy situation. I'm just not sure what the alternative is if you can't have, if people choose not to become vaccinated, then surely there is a limit as to the activities they could participate in.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we know what will happen. We know what the movie looks like going forward if there isn't this vaccination program and if we don't rely on the vaccine. We've had that for the last year.
Just to interrupt you, if you want to travel to Zambia, for example, and you choose not to get a yellow fever injection, you simply can't go. So, right. So they say to you, it's okay, but then don't come.
So
it's no different, I mean, really, is it?
Well, I think that we're in a situation where our rights as individuals to choose has somewhat been removed from us over the past year. We've been forced to stay home. We've been denied the right to move freely, to go to the gyms, to go to work. Many people have been laid off as a result of this. Our personal freedoms have been significantly curtailed as a group, as a society, as a result of what we've been experiencing over the last year. And so we know that if we don't change something, and by changing in our case, it means getting vaccinated, then we know that we are set to repeat those cycles that we've been through over the past year. There's no way that we can change that by simply doing more of the same. So those personal freedoms have already been removed from us as an entire society. So the question is now whether it's better to remove the freedom of an entire society or to begin to discriminate between some people who we can return their freedoms to and some people who don't qualify because for whatever reason, they aren't being vaccinated. And, you know, the question is, do we penalize everybody and make everybody the same, and therefore there is no discrimination? Or do we at least move towards some semblance of normality for those people who have been vaccinated? But then that comes with a certain level of discrimination. And unfortunately, some people have no choice because they suffer from allergies or they suffer from illnesses which prevent them from being vaccinated. And they will, unfortunately, through no fault of their own, fall into the discriminated category. It's a very, very tough call to make.
Clive says it's like Nazi Germany, and you can't compare the two. Yellow fever is way different to corona. I'm not sure why that is the case. Clive, if you want to let me know further, I would love to hear it. All right, let's just talk about this revelation around what went on with the assassination of the senior nuclear scientist in Iran.
Yes, yeah, so this is an article that has been published in the Jewish Chronicle in the UK. I don't know what the source of their information is, but a very, very extensive article talking about what went down on the day that Mohsen Fakhrizadeh was assassinated and how it was done. So much to take in, and so much smoke and mirrors about the story. Apparently, 8 months of surveillance took place before the assassination was actually activated. We are told in the story by the Jewish Chronicle that there was a team of over 20 Israeli and Iranian nationals who were spying and who were surveying and who were observing Fakhrizadeh in his daily movements, what he was up to, how he went about things. Then there's this remote controlled gun, which apparently weighs something like a ton, that was used to assassinate him, which apparently was brought into Iran piece by piece by different people over an extended period of time in order to finally rebuild this amazingly accurate gun that was ultimately used to assassinate Fakhrizadeh. And then the story about the fact that he was traveling in a convoy, not only himself and his wife, but apparently 12 bodyguards around him. And yet when the moment came that the gun was activated by remote control, we understand 13 bullets were fired in that particular attack. Not one of the bodyguards nor anybody else around him was injured. He was simply killed very, very pinpointed accuracy by this burst of bullets, 13 bullets that came from this very, very sophisticated automated gun. And he was killed in that operation and nobody else was killed. So there was this attention to ensure that no so-called collateral damage was achieved in this particular attack. And the speculation is that whereas Iran was probably 3 to 4 months away from being able to achieve a nuclear bomb at any moment in time, that period has now been extended to 2 years, with some people even suggesting that it might have been extended as much as 5 years as a result of Fakhrizadeh being assassinated. So it shows how central he was to the whole production of a nuclear weapon and indeed the nuclear industry in Iran in general, but a really a fascinating Mossad type story. You could see a movie being made, a book being written about this. Who knows how much of this is really true, but it still makes for some quite interesting reading and some quite fascinating imagination about how these people actually went about carrying out this attack and putting all this information together to make it so accurate and to carry it out with some accuracy, with such amazing accuracy.
I can't wait to see that movie when they eventually do produce it. Speaking of movies, tell us about Steven Spielberg.
Yeah, so Steven Spielberg is the 2021 Genesis Prize laureate. The Genesis Prize is kind of spoken about as the equivalent of the Nobel Prize, but for Jewish people. And the Genesis Prize has been around since 2012. Former South African Morris Kahn, very much involved member of the selection committee. Money that was put to aside was donated by a number of Russian people who decided to put this fund together in order to award a $1 million prize each year to a Jewish person who has really made a difference to the world. And this year, that person is Steven Spielberg, not only for his amazing impact on the film industry and the movies that he's made, but also as a philanthropist. He's being recognized for his philanthropic activities. What's happened up until now, traditionally, is that the recipients of the Genesis Prize, who each receive $1 million, have traditionally donated their money to charities and have not taken up. Previous recipients of the Genesis Prize include Natan Sharansky, who was last year's prize winner, Robert Croft in 2019, Natalie Portman, also from the movie industry 2018, Yitzhak Perlman, from 2016, Michael Bloomberg, 2014, Michael Douglas, again, from the movie industry, 2015. And they've traditionally donated their money to good causes and to charities. And it wouldn't surprise me, given the fact that Steven Spielberg is being recognized not only for movies, but also for philanthropy, that he might donate his money as well. In the past, this was a prize that was given in person by the prize committee. I guess this year, probably not in person, perhaps will be done electronically over some sort of a media that doesn't involve people traveling around. But I think that Steven Spielberg is probably a worthy winner, someone who's really made a massive difference.
Absolutely. I mean, if you think about his Holocaust documentation, never mind just his movies, I think made an incredible, incredible contribution to the world. Anthony Reich, this is where we love and leave you. Hope you have a fantastic weekend. A Shabbat Shalom. And we, of course, will catch you on Monday morning.
Chai FM, your station of choice since 2008.